heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And today's episode is presented by SeatGeek and their wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. And if you haven't gotten tickets for Wednesday night's game against Atlanta, Fan Appreciation Night, always a good night, last regular season game, you might want to check it out. Okay, on this episode, we will look back at the Pacers' big win in Orlando on Saturday night, where they beat the Magic 127-112. Offense was flowing all night and got enough defense done to secure the win and remain in the playoff spot. Ended the night in seventh place, thanks to some losses around them by the Bulls and the Heat. So the Pacers are in good playoff spot heading into Monday night, but things are not settled yet. So we'll take a look at the standings and the scenarios facing the Pacers over the next 3 days that will determine their postseason fate. But before we get going, reminder, hit me up with any questions or comments. Discussion about the Pacers, always welcome. You can reach me at IndyCornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at IndyCornrows. Okay, Pacers down in the Magic Kingdom, facing Frank Vogel and his Magic, and the Magic came out smoking, made their first 6 3-pointers. Terrence Ross looked like he was going to put up 50 early, and the Pacers had the weather a little early storm, but were able to keep pace and actually win the first quarter, 39-38. Buckets were flowing. Paul George had it going as well. He actually had it going all night. Finished the game with 37 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, and the only bad thing is he missed a couple free throws and brought his free throw percentage down below 90%. So that's been one thing here at this late stretch when PG has been playing so well. He has seen his free throw percentage go down a little bit, but part of that is he's going to the line more as well. So combine the late season wear and tear with more trips in line, and you're going to see that free throw percentage level out a little bit. But actually, for the season, PG's right below that marker of the 90 and then the 40 for three-pointers. He's at 39% on three-pointers, only shooting overall field goal percentage of around 45%, although on two-pointers, he's about 50%. So putting up some good shooting numbers nonetheless, and really getting it done again for the Pacers as they try to make this last-ditch effort stick for a quality playoff spot, and now having won 3-1 since Lance Stephenson arrived. But nonetheless, they were able to ward off that Magic offense. Again, Ross had it going. He ended up with 29 points. And made 6 threes. Evan Fournier had returned for them after having a wrist injury. He made 4 threes, no problem with that wrist. So overall, they made 14 threes, but the Pacers were able to get 11 of those back themselves. PG made 4 threes, and CJ Miles did his thing off the bench in 20 minutes. He had 11 points, made a couple threes, and made some big plays. And once again, some guys rose up, played big in the starting unit, but now they're starting to get more out of that bench. And we can give Lance Stephenson plenty of credit because the energy he brings, the playmaking ability, the attention he draws, but also the way the rotation is setting up. They played 5 minutes with, as we like to call it now, the double plotter lineup. In this case, LaVoy Allen and Kevin Serafin. But in the second half, they went to the smaller lineup, which has more or less Paul George at the four. Actually, don't tell Paul that. He's still three. C.J. Miles at the four. Excuse me. C.J. Miles at the four. And they staggered that lineup, only played nine, and kept it small. And Kevin Seraphin, again, had a nice night. He's starting to really become a major factor in this situation with Lance. They're teaming up quite nicely, and just having that one big in there who can actually be a threat to score around the rim has opened things up. So Seraphin also had 11 points in 18 minutes. And Lance had 8 points, 3 assists, and 6 rebounds. And, of course, 2 three-pointers that stole the show. Late in the third quarter, had a step back that he made with a couple minutes left in the third quarter. And then to close out the quarter, he hit another one. And after draining it with the buzzer sounding, he did a little nice shimmy dance down the court to a waiting bench that was ready to mob him, and had Miles Turner jumping up and down, trying to mimic him. So, you know, always fun playing with Lance when things are going well. It's kind of funny, of course. Not only do you get the highlights from Lance, but you get a quote that's also worth a chuckle. After the game, he told Nate Taylor, the Indy Star, that I haven't been hitting threes since I left here. Hitting threes for me is like winning a championship game. So that's pretty much how he treated it. And no one was complaining. And it was quite a good clip that ended up being shown roughly, you know, 300 to 500 times on Twitter. So good stuff from Lance again, as he continues to be the perfect fit right now for this team. Who knew? You know, Larry Bird could say he knew, but if he really knew, this would have happened a lot earlier. He definitely hitting it at the perfect time here. So, again, great effort from the bench. They get overall 39 points off the bench. In a game where they score 127 points, they needed it. So, as for the starters, still getting quality minutes from Thad Young, making a lot of plays, being that kind of fourth option, if you will, and just the guy that's willing to do the dirty work and setting good screens and getting his buckets off of, you know, those screens or good passes or his guy having to leave to help. And then he's there to clean up, finish with 14 points. Miles Turner had his best game in quite a while, I think. 23 points, 10 rebounds, but he played like a man inside. Really took it to Vucevic, who is a tough cover and has been a big-time tough cover for the Pacers. Big guy in the middle for the Magic. And right away, early in the game, a couple possessions where Turner stonewalled him on the defensive end and forced tough shots, got the rebound, had a couple other good rebounds in traffic amongst their big guys, really actually played big. Like I like to say, you know, big boy ball, he played it. That was really nice to see him throw his shoulders back and play with that kind of confidence. And again, he hit a three-pointer, his one that he took, starting to find that little rhythm, you know, made 10 or 13 shots. So get that offense flowing again for Miles, and that is a big game changer for this team as they continue to build momentum to get into the playoffs. And if they can get in, I think they're going to be a little dangerous. So it'll be interesting to see what matchup they get, because there could be some favorable ones at the top there. You know, with Boston kind of leaking oil here at the end of the year. Even Washington, they're kind of up and down. I don't think they're going to fall or rise up high enough to be against the Pacers, but you never know. So it isn't over, though. And, you know, Pacers have to finish it off with 2 games left. They can guarantee a spot in the playoffs by winning both games. So they do control their own destiny now. But they're at Philadelphia and then home against the Hawks, who have been playing magical of late for some reason, with 2 huge wins over the Cavs. That game is going to be a blast on Wednesday. It always is. Fan appreciation night, especially if they win. But even if they don't, after the game, players give out all kinds of shoes and empty the lockers for fans, giving away stuff after the game. And hopefully they'll be celebrating a quality playoff spot. So you want to check out SeatGeek app to get into that game for sure. because buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deals for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And if you want to get in that Hawks game, I'll show you how easy it is. Pop up my phone and the SeatGeek app. Pull up Pacers games and the Hawks at Pacers. And right away, I'm seeing a lower level behind the hoop for $60. Upper deck, $12. So some good seats available in what should be a good crowd on the last regular season game at the Fieldhouse. So check out the app and find that green dot with the ticket in the spot you want to sit at the price you want to pay. Because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all for my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get $20 rebate on tickets, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add Promo Code, and then enter promo code LOPACERS. That's all one word, all caps, LOPACERS. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code LOPACERS today. And man, will that game at the Fieldhouse on Wednesday have some serious ramifications, because the Pacers gotta win. Now, there are several scenarios playing out here that could have the Pacers finishing anywhere from 5th place in the East to 9th and out of the playoffs. And we have 2 games left in the season. It's been a crazy weekend, a crazy few days. The Hawks play next to no one in their starting lineup up in Cleveland, appear to be giving that game away, and somehow rolled the Cavs down the stretch and won going away. So fast forward to Sunday afternoon. Cleveland is in Atlanta and still in a battle for the first spot in the East, with the Celtics holding a half-game edge over Boston. After just annihilating Boston in their last meeting, they own the tiebreaker, but they still need to secure the top spot. So they roll into Atlanta, and they play like that's what they're trying to do. Take a 25-point lead into the fourth quarter, and then, you know, I didn't see the whole thing, but hearing there was some referee shenanigans, and then next thing you know, the Hawks score 44 fourth-quarter points. Paul Millsap hits a buzzer beater to tie the game. They go into OT. LeBron's fouled out, and the Hawks end up winning. So if the Hawks would lose just one game before they play the Pacers could beat them, win the tiebreaker, end up with a tie record, and jump ahead of them in the standings. There were 2 perfect opportunities for that to happen against Cleveland, and those are now gone. So now the Hawks have to play Charlotte on Tuesday at home, and then the Pacers. So they're actually sitting in pretty good shape to hang on to that 5th spot. Now, the good thing about that schedule for the Pacers is that the Hawks have to play on Tuesday, so they'll be playing a road back-to-back game against the Pacers on Wednesday. So that is one advantage. So let's look at the rest of the situation for the Pacers. Right now, they control their own destiny. If they win both games, they're in, because they are currently a game ahead of both Chicago and Miami. But now, as we know, if you lose one of those games, tie Chicago and Miami, then the Pacers don't have the tiebreaker against either team, so they are out. So they need either the Bulls to lose or Miami to lose to secure a spot with just one more win. Now, Chicago, again, has the easiest schedule. They play Orlando and Brooklyn at home. But of course, Brooklyn just beat them in Brooklyn on Saturday night. So that shook up this whole thing for the Pacers, and and helped them move up to seventh. But I wouldn't count on the Bulls losing either of those games after what we saw over the weekend. As for Miami, they are the ones in trouble. Now they have Cleveland in town for a back-to-back on Monday night. Cleveland's playing the back-to-back after just playing the Hawks. Obviously, the Cavs still need to win. Maybe they'll just decide, forget it. We don't care about the top spot. We need some rest before the playoffs start and give that one up. But I have a feeling they'll be at least going for that win against the Heat, which would eliminate the Heat as far as the Pacers are concerned. So if Miami gets by the Heat, or if Miami gets by the Cavs, then their last game is against the Wizards. Now, the Wizards could have taken care of this whole thing on Saturday by beating the Heat in Washington, but they were unable to do it. And oddly enough, both games in the overtime in Atlanta with Cleveland, and then at the end of the Miami-Washington game on Saturday, there's a side out-of-bounds play at the end of the game with Washington and Cleveland, in both cases, needing a bucket late in the game to keep things going. And both times they threw the ball away to the other team, and that kind of sealed the deal. And both, you know, turned up with bad losses that kept the Pacers' playoff hopes still on the edge and forcing them to still win their games. So we'll see if Washington can rise up on that last game, not rest, and actually take care of the Heat if the Cavs don't do so. So again, as we've said the whole time, Miami's had a killer stretch with Toronto, Washington, Cleveland, Washington. They're 1-1 so far, but they lose one more, and that will do it for them as far as the Pacers are concerned. So the only other team in the mix there is Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has a tiebreaker against the Pacers. So while they are only one game ahead in the standings, they would have to lose both of their remaining games. They play Charlotte, not out of the question, and then they're at Boston. Again, if the Celtics are fighting for a top spot, they may be going all out for that one. So the Bucks are in the playoffs, but where they stand in the final standings will determine how all this shakes out. So again, the Pacers, Milwaukee, Atlanta have 5th, 6th, 7th all up for grabs. And then 8th place is up for grabs for the Pacers if they lose one, as is 9th. So yeah, you got that? Quick, go ahead, write that down, send it out to all your friends, because clear as mud, right? Bottom line, Pacers need to win, and then just figure out where they tell them to go play after that for the playoffs. Because at this point, they'll be happy to be in the postseason. And really, if they get certain teams in there, it's going to be an interesting first round. And the way they're playing right now, they're going to be a dangerous out if that second unit can continue to gather steam and get comfortable playing. Especially that little combo of Lance and Seraphin in there. They're starting to get real comfortable playing together, and they can get some buckets. So could be a fun little couple-week stretch here after a frustrating season, without a doubt. And in the Western Conference, real quick, all the playoff spots are set. The only thing that isn't set is the 4-5 spot with the Clippers and Jazz, which could flip home court on that. Right now, the Clippers have it because they have the tiebreaker. But the Jazz could sneak up and at least get home court in that first round series. But of course, you have the Warriors at number one. They'll be playing the Blazers. And you got the Spurs playing the Grizzlies. And then the Rockets playing the Thunder. That should be fun, with Westbrook and Harden going at it with big numbers from all over the place. So postseason action underway next weekend. Won't be long. Hopefully the Pacers are fully involved and engaged. So thanks for listening. Again, reach out with any comments about the Pacers, the rest of the games here, who you want to see in the playoffs. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Also, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And again, thanks to the fine folks at SeatGeek for presenting this episode. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.